Welcome to another exciting episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the Brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The Brothers Anderson are... This is Eric.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
This is Brother Jay.
You ask me if I have a God complex? Let me tell you something. I am God.
This is Drew.
There is a storm coming like nothing you have ever seen! And not a one of you is prepared for it!
And they're sometimes joined by guests like...
This is Dr. Wonders.
I had to stop her from screaming.
And Diane.
If you men only knew.
So sit back, close your eyes, and let us take you away. Unless you're driving, in which case keep your eyes open and watch the road and, you know, anyway. Ho, ho, happy holidays and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
To kick off our Christmas week is 1984's Gremlins, directed by Joe Dante, written by Chris Columbus, and produced by Steven Spielberg. A movie that my dog and bird love immensely.
So, I think I texted you over the weekend. I watched this movie. I haven't seen this movie in... It's been a long time since I've seen this movie.
Viewing it with 2015 eyes is a strange thing, isn't it?
It really was. Because there were some very clear technology throwbacks. So some of it's dated, but parts of it hold up really well. I think as a whole, it holds up as a movie really well, but... I think as we I may have discussed in the text message, I had forgotten that this really isn't a comedy, although I think they try and sell it as a dark comedy. This is really a horror movie.
Oh, it is. It is most definitely a horror movie.
Yeah, because at one point I think I texted you, I just screamed like a girl.
Oh, yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with screaming like a girl, but I did it because part of the movie scared the shit out of me.
Oh, yeah, the movie has some really gruesome parts, and there's also the darkest part of any movie I've seen in recent history. And this is just after Halloween.
I think we probably wrote down the same thing, which was we can discuss later in the movie.
So, yeah. Yes,
the dark. Yeah, we probably have similar notes.
Which we can argue did not need to be there.
Maybe we're not talking about the same thing. So, it'll be...
Well, we'll get to it.
Okay, yeah. No, but I bought this on DVD at Fred Meyer, of all places, for like $4.99 last week, or I think the last week or the week before. It was $5.99, and I was like, nah, $6. But then I'm like, oh, it's $4.99, it's on sale. And so my little addled brain was like, $5? I can spend $5 on a DVD. Like, I'd spend that much if I was going to rent it. Granted, it's not Blu-ray, but like, it's not going to look good in Blu-ray. But, No, it's still a great movie. I mean, it's still a great movie. I enjoyed it very much, but I had forgotten how scary it was. I think this is as much a horror movie as the Gremlins 2 is a comedy. They are very divergently different movies.
Well, I haven't seen Gremlins 2 since it came out, probably. So that'll yeah. And I have it, so that'll be an interesting watch, but...
Well, and I'm wondering if I am also misremembering that in the same fashion as I misremembered this, because I remember this being a fun, funny Christmas movie, but on rewatch, not really a funny Christmas movie. This was a dark, dark movie.
I am certain we saw this in the theater.
I'm certain we did too.
Yeah.
Also, Chris Columbus said there is going to be another Gremlins movie, and there was speculation back and forth for a while about it was going to be Gremlins reboot. And he said, apparently in April of this year, no, it's going to be Gremlins 3, but it will only be sequel by dint of the fact that it will have Gremlins in it, that the movie's going in a different direction.
Oh, I'm not sure what other direction it could go in, except for romantic comedy.
Well, except a rom-com was part of Gremlins 2.
Yeah, see, I don't remember. Well, okay, so here's my notes to start... It's 1984, so you have to put on your Wayback Machine hat. And Joe Dante, director of the original Piranha, The Howling, one of the segments of the Twilight Zone movie, and Tom Hanks' The Burbs.
Oh, man. You know, we haven't done the Twilight movie, or the Twilight. Yeah, the Twilight Zone movie.
No, that is another mixed bag.
And I'm not sure I could sit through it again, because it scared the crap out of me as a kid.
Yeah, there are some really disturbing parts of it.
Yeah. Like, I remember the kid that could turn the people into not having mouths.
I believe that's the Joe Dante story. Mm. But, well, how about the writer, Chris Columbus? He actually directed Adventures in Babysitting, all the Home Alone movies, two Harry Potter movies, Mrs. Doubtfire, but the recent Pixels.
Yeah, he's done a ton of stuff.
Yeah, I've heard that Pixels is one of the worst movies ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought I heard that that terrible Burnt was pretty bad.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't heard really anything about that, except it could be, sounds like it will be a slow movie.
Yeah, I heard Spectre set the UK record for over the weekend.
I have heard mixed reviews about that, too. I've heard that lots of people love it, and people that are Fairweather Bond friends maybe don't like the direction it's headed, or the fact that Daniel Craig continues to be Daniel Craig and doesn't turn into Roger Moore.
Well, I think today there was scuttlebutt that they may have signed him to a fourth and final movie.
It would be a fifth movie.
Oh, would it? Yeah, I guess it would be. Yeah. See, because I just totally, Quantum of Solace crap, I just...
See, and I like Quantum of Solace.
I know you do.
I know. I think it's just, I liked it better than Casino Royale. And people are saying that Spectre...
Blasphemy.
That people are saying that Spectre is better than Skyfall, but not as good as Casino Royale. And nobody even mentions Quantum of Solace.
That should tell you something. Yeah, well. That should clue you in that your opinion is wrong.
Okay. I'll take that but as...
I think you and I discussed that you just have a different take on it. And that's fine. I don't think any less of you. Well, not much less, but... But yeah, I'll probably take Kenny to go see it this weekend, hopefully, because we're celebrating my birthday on Saturday, apparently. So
sweet.
So we'll probably go see Spectre on Saturday, I hope. Maybe. Because I'd like to see it in the theater. I think I've seen all of them in the theater. Yes, I have. I've seen all of the Craig Bond films in the theater so far.
You did not see Dr. No in the theater.
Oh, no.
Although, who knows? I mean, you live in Portland, so there could be like... you know, movie retrospectives and things.
All the time. Cinetopia, again, I'm just naming names. The theater that I like to go to here has retros all the time. I think a couple weeks ago, I tagged you on a post about how they were replaying The Fifth Element.
Yeah, see, and occasionally we have theaters here that do that, but they don't really advertise so much, so you kind of have to seek them out.
Yeah, no, they do advertise here, and I know that they're doing, I think, all the Star Wars movies, the original three episodes. I don't know. Is it that episode 4, 5, and 6?
Yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Oh, well.
So, anyway, back to Gremlins.
Well, okay, let's one more piece of history before we get into the movie itself. This movie and Indiana Jones... were pretty much credited with having the MPAA create a PG-13 rating, since there was no PG-13 at the time. So you had a choice on this and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom of either giving it an R rating, which wouldn't allow kids to see it at all, or a PG rating, which these days Gremlins would not be a PG movie. Like,
you don't think?
No, there was too much swearing for PG.
I didn't even notice the swearing.
Yeah.
Maybe not being a parent, I don't notice that, but... it was certainly full of violence.
Oh, yeah. Way violent.
Unmitigated. I mean, and sometimes, again, I had forgotten this movie. I was shocked at the level of violence.
I know. It's crazy. Because this is a movie that fools you. It starts off like a lovely Christmas story. It starts off like most of the movies we're going to talk about this week, except for all the Shane Black movies. It's just going to be a happy Christmas movie.
Well, I think when you see Hoyt Axton on screen, you think you're getting a certain kind of movie. Because when this came out, you know, Hoyt Axton had a very different career. So I think from my perspective, and again, I'm I'm going back to my perspective as a child, because in 1984, I would have been, 12 years old. But, Hoyt Axton, I had expected a movie. I don't know how I ever sat through this movie in a movie theater and didn't just be, I'm sure I was terrified.
Well, because there's so much humor right with the violence, although not complete. We'll talk about individual things.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we will. But, this movie also estimated budget of $11 million and grossed $148 million.
Oh, yeah.
And it was shot in 70 millimeter, which is, amazing.
Oh, undoubtedly, this was a hit movie from the word go.
Yeah. Yeah. No, which is why I think Gremlins 2 probably got greenlit as a sequel.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I'm flipping through the Hoyt Axton catalog. Why do we know so much about Hoyt Axton?
I don't know, but I do. I think he was ever present on the TV run, like Fantasy Island and Love Boat. And I'm guessing he did the rounds.
You would think, but not as much. I'm looking at the filmography. He was in one episode of Bonanza. He was in one episode of I Dream of Jeannie. He was in one episode of The Bionic Woman, one episode of McCloud. And those are kind of older shows. One episode of WKRP. He was one of the characters in the Black Stallion movie, which I never saw, I don't think. He was in Cloud Dancer. He was in the television show Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, which sounds like a horror show. He was in one episode of the Fairy Tale Theater. He was in two episodes of Trapper John MD, two episodes of Different Strokes. So, yeah, maybe
one episode. He was in all the shows that we watched.
Yeah, Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah.
Growing Pains.
And growing up. Yeah. Yeah, you're naming shows that, all of these I have seen. I have seen him in these shows. Because there wasn't a lot of TV back then.
Also, though, he's been in a ton of, he's a musician. So
yeah, see, that's
been in
what
the
I
soundtrack
think
of a ton of movies.
Well, and something tells me that there's a connection to Grandpa Clyde. That
there
we probably
must
heard
be.
A lot of music. Yeah, I would guess.
Yeah, interesting.
He was in Thank You for Smoking.
Oh, I can understand he would be. But he has the best
Thunder.
Voice ever, by the way.
Yeah, he does.
He really does. He has like the great Christmas movie dad voice.
Yeah, because he has the right brass and the right baritone.
And he's got that little bit of Southern twang that makes it friendly, but he's got the deep timbre that makes it authoritative. So he plays Randall Rand Peltzer. He's a struggling inventor. Although, I don't know about you, but I thought that we would have owned all the Peltzer appliances in our kitchen if they were real.
Yeah. So, we probably would have.
We
and
totally
in fact,
would have.
I think there were a few we did own.
Oh, yes. Well, just the fact that we had the chicken egg cooker.
Henrietta.
Henrietta, yes.
Henrietta Hen.
Yes, and we had the under-the-counter popcorn popper.
The under-the-counter Black & Decker under-counter air pop popcorn popper.
The air pop, but with the metal tray that you could put a stick of butter in.
Yeah. Well, it was healthy. Healthier.
Yeah, you
healthier
can go healthy.
Did you put your margarine full of trans fats right on top of your air pop popcorn?
No, we need saturated fat like butter.
Yeah.
But anywho. So
in those days though, it was still margarine.
Well, we were not a butter family, but we could have been a butter family. It was the size of a stick of butter, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, it was bigger than that. You could fit up, not that I know this. You could fit several sticks of butter in that thing.
Yeah. Anyway.
But wouldn't melt chocolate chips, by the way.
Oh, well, good to know. I used a frying pan for that sort of thing, so it's a joke for two. Anywho.
No, I laughed.
Yeah. So, but it's that silent laugh that doesn't come across in podcasting. It's not really a visual. It's the theater of the mind. Anyway, so Randall Peltzer, Hoy Daxton, is a struggling inventor, and he visits a Chinatown antique store in hopes of finding a Christmas present for his son, Billy, played by Zach Galligan. In the store, which, by the way, this, like I said, this movie lulls you into thinking it's one thing and then switches it up, because the Randall Peltzer struggling inventor, he is buffoonish. He is slapstick comedy. His inventions are not practical and they don't work. And it's all played for laughs.
Well, they work for a little bit of time and then they stop working because Billy has a little exposition about that.
Yeah. So he's not a good inventor, but again, he's charming. And he, in the store, he encounters the small furry creature called the Mogwai. So the owner refuses to sell the creature to Rand. So his grandson secretly sells it to him because they need the money. So they were told three important rules that can never be broken. You don't expose the Mogwai to bright light or sunlight, which will kill it. You don't let it get wet, and you never feed it after midnight. Seems simple enough. And the Mogwai is the cutest thing ever.
I think so, too.
The special effects, well, do you know who the voice for the Mogwai is, for Gizmo?
Well, I saw in the voice in the credits, I almost texted you, except it was like 1 a.m. I was like, oh my God, are you kidding me? There's two voice talents that stood out of all the voice talent, and it was Harry Mandel and Michael Winslow.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I'm assuming that Gizmo was the former, not the latter.
Yeah, Gizmo was Harry Mandel.
Yeah, that's what I had figured. But Michael Winslow, and Harry Mandel, very different careers. Harry Mandel, St. Elsewhere, his little game show, Michael Winslow, Police Academy, and I don't know what he's done. Well,
they both start out as stand-ups, and I think Michael Winslow still does stand-up.
Yeah.
In kind of a sad way, I think. But
Hoy Daxton, by the way, on Hee Haw.
Well, of course. Yeah, it seems like Hee Haw was built for Hoy Daxton.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, so we have the rule. We have the cutest. And by the way, I was going to say, the special effects in this movie were fantastic. I loved.
Well, it's a Spielberg flick, right?
It's all practical. There, you know, it's a 1984, so it's not CGI. This is before Jurassic Park. They didn't have the CGI available. So it's all puppets or there's some stop motion. It's great. I mean, there's some actual legitimate animation later in the movie. And it's all trickery. It's fun, you know. Whenever you see the gremlins that are like kind of out and about, they're just dolls. And they do several clever things so that they don't have to actually have puppeteers. Like you have, the gremlin hanging from the ceiling fan. You don't really have to do anything with that gremlin. You never have to cut to his face. All you have to have is sound effects. But anyway, so we have one Mogwai, Gizmo. The cutest creature ever, like a tiny little teddy bear with a pug nose. So it would be very popular as like a purse pet these days. But again, 1984 had slightly different views of pets.
Well, especially that it was okay for an adult to swindle and take from a child after another adult forbids it. And like his morals are clearly a little transient.
Well, you mean Rand's morals?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but he's a salesman. But I think he's actually doing the kid a favor because they need the money. And Grandpa's crazy, so it's like, why not give the kid some money? I don't see him as being immoral. I mean, yeah, he's not. You know, he has some explaining to do. He is certainly to blame for what happens next.
Yeah.
Because this turns out having a Mogwai is too much responsibility for any person. Then we meet, of course, Billy, who's Zach Galligan. And what's Zach Galligan done lately?
Oh, I don't know. I know that he was in Gremlins 2. He and Phoebe Cates both returned for Gremlins 2.
Oh, well, excellent. Well, I love Phoebe Cates. And you know why Phoebe Cates took this role, right? Well, okay. I'll tell you why Phoebe Cates was excited about getting this role. It's because in this movie, unlike Fast Times at Ridgemont High or the miniseries Lace, she wasn't trampy. She was like, has a more of a wholesome image in this movie. Because in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, she was simply there for masturbatory fantasies.
What?
Have you seen Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
No.
Yeah. Well, she's the unattainable pretty girl who actually takes off her top.
I see.
Yeah. So.
No, I'm not thinking. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, is that Sean Penn?
Sean Penn.
And Fran Drescher?
I don't know about Fran Drescher, but Jennifer Jason Leigh and...
Jennifer Jason Leigh, really?
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. Judge Reinhold and, Sean Penn, Phoebe Cates. Lots of little, Fran Drescher may have been in it, but there are lots of little things.
No. What am I? Taylor Negron.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I have to have seen this movie.
Oh, it was a big deal at the time.
Yeah, I must have seen it. I mean, I would be shocked if I hadn't. But unfortunately, it's not firing any of the synapses.
Oh, you know what's great? Zach Galligan has done mostly horror movies in his catalog. He's done like 69 movies. He's still working. He's like
I see. He's done a lot, but I also saw that he did Jerusalem.
What's that?
I don't know, but it's an interesting and provocative title.
Oh, Jerusalem. Yeah. But yeah, lots of horror movies. Interesting. Well, like I said, this is a horror movie. So, very interesting. Okay, so sorry, back to Gremlins. So we meet, we have Zach Galligan, who is Billy, the son, who gets the Mogwai, even though he's perfectly happy to have a dog. But he's happy to have a new animal, too. And Billy works at a bank. And also working at the bank is Judge Reinhold and Phoebe Cates. And Phoebe Cates is a love interest.
Sorry, I hate to interrupt. Did you notice, by the way, and I noticed this, in the beginning of the movie, in Chinatown, right in front of the shop, there was a gremlin vehicle that had crashed into the pole?
I did not know. Oh, like the actual,
the AMC
Gremlin. Yeah. I did notice the Gremlin at the very beginning, but I didn't. It's pretty funny.
No, I thought, anyway.
So, yeah, there were, you know, again, this is a Spielberg produced movie. This is, you know, the attention to detail was great. And again, because it lulls you into a sense of it lulls you into that whole sense of a Christmas movie. You've got, Miracle on 34th Street. No. Is that the movie? What's the...
It's a Wonderful Life.
You have It's a Wonderful Life on TV. And you kind of have a It's a Wonderful Life town because you have Mrs. Deagle, who's played by Polly Holiday, and she's the grumpy old woman who, in a slightly different movie, could have been played by Carol Burnett.
Yeah.
And she hates Billy's dog, Barney. She wants it put down or worse. And then you got Billy's friend, much younger friend, Pete, played by the very young Corey Feldman.
I know. It took me several beats of my heart before my head caught up with the fact, because I was like, what? Wait, what? He was a kid one day, someday? Really?
He was actually a pretty successful child actor. He was in
spite of this, because he was terrible.
No, he was fine.
Some of his performance was terrible.
Well, I don't know. I thought it was fine.
By the way, Polly Holiday
was
in All the President's Men.
Oh, who did she play?
All the President's Men.
Who did she play?
She played Dardis's secretary, Ned Beatty.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She wouldn't let Dustin Hoffman in the office. So anyway,
I recognized her voice more than anything. Her voice is very distinctive.
Well, she's great. And she's, again, an over-the-top kind of Christmas villain. You think she is going to be the villain of the story. Spoiler, she is not the villain of the story.
No. She's still alive, by the way.
Oh, good. Well, she is evil in the movie. But over-the-top, and again, a friendly Christmas movie way. And so you've got the shenanigans at the bank, and you've got the little lovey-dovey eyes between Billy and Kate, who's Phoebe Cates. And then we have Pete, Corey Feldman, headed up to Billy's room. They're reading comic books, and he spills a glass of water over Gizmo, which breaks that first rule.
Yeah. So I have a question. Isn't there a doesn't it seem to be that there's a huge age disparity between the two?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, because Billy isn't a full-on adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Billy, what are you doing with the little boy up in your room?
Yeah, with no shirt on. Yeah. Oh, well, they were simpler times, and Corey Feldman had a lot of that coming on later in his life, so it's... Anyway, so poor Corey Feldman spills a glass of water on Gizmo, and then that's where this movie starts its turn.
By the way, this is at the point in the movie where there is a tube of Flicks in the wastebasket, which I texted you.
Yes, yes. Was it Flicks or Flex?
Flicks.
Okay, a cardboard tube with foil on the outside and inside.
I don't even think it was foil. I think it was just colored crinkly paper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think maybe foiled paper. Not actually like maybe tin foil, but I don't know. I just remember.
To me, they were the evil knockoffs of Hershey Kisses because they were crap chocolate.
Oh, they were. I don't even think they were real chocolate. I think they were like those chocolate melts you would buy to make candy at home with.
Like, yeah, they were chocolate. They were chocolate product.
Yes.
They were a step up from Carob.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, they were probably, there was some percentage of chocolate, but it was basically dried magic shell.
Yeah. It was mostly wax.
Yeah.
But it made me laugh because they exist still apparently in specialty candy shops, but they are not easy to procure because I was looking at Amazon.
Well, you know, we have the technology. I can unwrap some, candy kisses and throw them in a toilet roll and put foil on the outside and call it a gift. Or maybe not.
You could.
Yeah.
I'm horrified that you called it a toilet roll, but.
Well, that's its nearest equivalent.
Orange roll, cinnamon roll, toilet roll.
Jelly roll.
Tootsie roll.
Anyway, so the glass of water spilled on Gizmo is actually horrifying because it causes Gizmo to have great pain and to form these tumors on his back. But then, not so much tumor as they pop out and they are little Gizmos, like Trouble with Tribbles kind of creature things.
Yeah, they were very kind of Tribble-like, but they were causing Gizmo pain.
Great pain, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and of course, he knew what was coming, but we didn't know what was coming. So now you have five more of the Mogwai. So Gizmo and five others. So six total, if you're counting at home. Or sorry, six total if you're scoring at home, or even if you're alone. So, sorry. You know, the crappy jokes are kind of a hallmark of bad podcasts, but still. Oh, by the way, did you like the Geechee Guy street jokes I threw in the podcast?
I sat there dumbfounded listening because I couldn't decide if they were funny or just cringe-inducingly terrible.
Both.
I didn't laugh, but I don't know. They were just, I don't know. Clearly, I'm going to go on a limb. I'm assuming this material is maybe 10, 15 years old, 20 years old,
oh,
I hope.
Well, it's either, well, I mean, they're straight up street jokes. These are not his jokes, of course. These are just street jokes.
Right,
so,
right.
And he is telling them very, very fast, which adds to some of it. And I could have tried to seek out some original Geechee Guy material, but I don't want to give away for free something he charges money for, even if it's on YouTube. So I just picked a nice little street joke think, to give you a sense of his delivery.
It gave me a chuckle.
Yeah. Yeah, bad jokes, but... And there was something wrong with the translation from the YouTube thing. So there was, like, there are a couple jokes that were missing, including what I think is a funny one. It's, why do Italians hate Jehovah's Witnesses?
Why do Italians hate Jehovah's Witnesses?
Italians hate all witnesses.
Okay, that made me laugh.
Yeah, okay. Here's a non-Geechee guy joke I'll tell you just because I heard it today on another podcast. A guy walks up to Chex. He goes to like Trader Joe's or whatever and walks up to the Chex stand, and he's carrying like a Stouffer's meal for one and an apple and a candy bar and like a single beer. And he puts them on the cash register, and the clerk is ringing up and says, "Ah, you're a single guy, aren't you?" And the guy's like, "How'd you know?" And the clerk's like, "'Cause you're fucking ugly."
Jeez.
Yeah. Anyway, that's another street joke. Very funny though, in a stupid way. Okay, so back to the movie.
And I have a question about Gremlins. So earlier in the beginning of the film, when Billy goes out to his Volkswagen and it won't start, and he meets the neighbor.
Yes.
So. Why is this a theme that the neighbor is like everything foreign is bad? What kind of strange subliminal, or not so subliminal, I guess, what kind of strange propaganda was this movie trying to push that everything foreign was bad? Because it was a rampant theme with him, but it never really paid off.
Well, no, not really. But kind of like, you know, the Mrs. Deagle stuff didn't really pay off. I mean, it paid off in the sense that it turned out to be his own American thing that was used against him later. And it turned out that Mrs. Deagle got sort of the just rewards of being the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where I noticed the swearing. It wasn't so, I mean, it wasn't like, they didn't drop the F word or anything. But, you know, sometimes you'll notice that a movie that could be like a kid's, or could be rated PG, except it's not really a kid's movie, they'll throw some swears in it just to bump it up to PG-13. Oh, no. Yeah. No, this would have barely made PG-13 now, I think.
Possibly.
Like, I think they would have had to cut, literally today, if it went before the MPAA, they would have to cut out a lot of those violent scenes.
Yeah.
But
also possibly making fun of the alcoholic.
Maybe. I guess. I mean, I suppose. But, or letting him drive home.
I know. That's what I wrote down. I'm like, oh, alcoholics are funny. Also, he's doing Christopher Walken. Yeah. Oh, also, he's driving drunk.
Exactly. But he's driving a tractor, so, you know, what can you do?
Sure, let the drunk guy drive a snowplow.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong?
So, yeah, back to Gizmo. Now he has had these sort of baby kind of things. Oh, by the way, the five extra Mogwai kind of have a leader, and the leader is Stripe, because he's got kind of a stripe, a mohawk type white stripe in his hair. And I was trying to, I didn't do enough of the math, but I was trying to do, like, in my head, a little comparison about the mainstream popularity of the singer Billy Idol. Did that coincide with this time?
I have no point of reference. I would have no idea.
Because it seemed like Stripe was dressed a lot like Billy Idol.
Was emulating Billy Idol?
Yeah, a little bit.
Huh.
And Billy Idol was probably like a poster child for the punk look, if not necessarily the poster child for a punk singer. Like, you know, like the female version of it would be like Susie Sue, and she had more cred. But like Johnny Rotten or Sid Vicious would be the other kind of popular, you know, poster child, but they were ugly and dirty, and Billy Idol wasn't nearly as ugly as dirty, but had the same kind of shtick.
Well, his popularity, well, White Wedding was 82.
Okay, yes.
Dancing with Myself was 82, but like Rebel Yell wasn't until 83.
Oh, so he would have been in the height of his popularity now, like with the MTV generation?
Yeah, let's see, because, and then...
So could they could have
Cradle of Love was Cradle of Love. Ugh, that was 1990.
Remember Eyes Without a Face? Where is it? Was 83. So yeah, so Rebel Yell. Yeah. So.
So it could have been on purpose that Stripe was actually fashioned as a Billy Idol type character.
Could have been.
Yeah, because that's what I thought of.
Yeah, I didn't make the connection, so that's a good call.
So, but anyway, Billy chose Gizmo to his former science teacher, Mr. Hansen, because again, Billy is not in school anymore, unlike Pete. And he shows the creepy science teacher, Mr. Hansen, and they do some more spawning. And that's when, so Mr. Hansen keeps one of the Mogwai who he's going to do experiments on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, again,
Where's PETA when you need him?
Exactly. And then back to the house, and Spike's gang trick Billy into feeding them after midnight, which now we've already put water on them, and we know what that does. So now Billy accidentally feeds them after midnight. And then we learn what that happens. All the Mogwai who eat after midnight go into cocoons.
They turn into giant turd blossoms.
Yes. And then they hatch. And they come out as the reptilian gremlins.
And that's when this movie makes a hard right turn.
Oh, it makes a hard turn. Because they immediately try to murder Billy's mom. And Billy's mom is defending herself.
I wrote down, though, good for Billy's mom, because you know what? You got to give it to her, because she takes this onslaught of attackers, not as like some shrinking violet, but she is out to kill. She's like going to defend her property and turf and herself.
Oh, she scrambles up all the improvised weapons, and you're right. She's a badass.
Yeah, no, she is. She really she is my hero of this whole movie.
Oh, absolutely. And she, let me tell you, this is where the gore starts. And it's legitimate gore. I mean, you've got granted, it's a puppet, but a puppet going into the juicer is kind of gory. The fact that she full on stabs the gremlin, the one gremlin, just like Norman Bates. And then we have the microwave.
Well, yeah. So the juicer was pretty horrific.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the juicer was bad.
I mean, because there's gremlin guts everywhere. But the microwave was just like straight on, full on, batshit crazy, full tilt.
Oh, like, horror
WTF.
Movie.
WTF.
Like, because she sprays the gremlin with some sort of spray. And then,
it was flea and tick spray.
Oh, yeah. So it blinds the gremlin, causing it to hurt, shoves him in the microwave, turns on the microwave, and there's a moment where the gremlin is in the microwave, like, screaming.
Yeah.
And then explodes in a gush of blood, which is really well done. Now, don't get me wrong. I admire these scenes. But this should have made this an R movie.
It was pretty shocking. I mean, I told you, I was amazed. So, but I want to go back just a little bit, because we skipped a part that is pivotal, at least in my opinion, to the bad acting in this movie, where Phoebe Cates has her little exposition about depression. When everyone is opening up their presents, some people are opening their wrists.
Yeah, Phoebe Cates is a dark character in this. Yeah, she doesn't like Halloween.
No, she doesn't like Halloween.
I'm sorry. She may love Halloween. She doesn't like Christmas.
Wow. That was Freudian.
Yeah.
No, Kate doesn't like Christmas, but she's too touchy to talk about it.
Yeah, we don't know why she doesn't like Christmas at first.
Yeah. Also, the plate of chicken that Billy pulls out of the fridge to feed the gremlins.
Yes.
There was like 20 pieces of chicken in the fridge. Seriously.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's three of them in that. No way.
Well, even that.
Especially because they're struggling and poor.
That's true. Also, throw a piece of saran wrap over that, people.
Yeah. Well, that too.
I'm not somebody that would ever stick a plate into their fridge that wasn't covered. Ever, ever, ever.
It would be, well, see, you and I are different because everything I own goes into a Ziploc.
Well, yeah.
But I wrote that Gizmo is intrinsically good.
because he wouldn't eat after midnight. He knew better.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when Billy offered him food, he gave that smug little no.
Yeah, no, Gizmo is cute and honorable and, innocent looking, but not unworldly. You kind of get the sense that Gizmo has been through this before.
Yeah. Probably. Because the old man was, you got to watch out, big evil. But the science teacher in the classroom with the film projector.
Yes.
So here's the problem I have with that. In what world would a teacher not know exactly how long that film strip is and have it not timed out so it didn't end in the middle when class ended?
Well,
that seemed a little stupid.
Yeah, but he was preoccupied. He just wanted the class to be over so he could experiment.
And that's when the little test subject, I think, is that he offers a Snickers, right?
I think so.
To cure the changeling. And apparently they can eat glass at this point.
Because the Mr. Hansen's Mogwai also eats after midnight and turns into a gremlin.
It has transmogrified.
Yeah, and kills him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and we think he's dead. You don't know that for sure.
No, he's dead. And Billy comes in and finds him dead and proceeds to touch everything in the room. I'm thinking, oh, Billy's going to go to jail for killing Mr. Hansen. Yeah. If you walk in to find a body, walk right out. Call the police. Do not touch anything.
But Billy's mom gets called downstairs in the melee, by the way, to the record player that's playing.
Well, yeah, this is 1984. Good times.
But yeah, no, she has the epic beatdown with the gremlin and the Christmas tree that attacks her. But she had the knives and stuff. So, but that was a pretty jarring scene when the gremlin is attacking her through the Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah. No, it's the whole thing. That whole scene with his mom is crazy violent.
Yeah, they are going to murder her.
Yes.
And she's going to murder them back.
Oh, yeah.
Which is when Billy comes in and rescues her by flinging the gremlin into the fireplace.
Yes. Oh, no, hitting the gremlin with the sword and cutting its head off and flinging the head into the fireplace.
That wasn't going to be as graphic, but yes, that's essentially what happened.
Yeah, the sword that keeps falling off anytime anybody opens the front door, which I thought was amusing.
Well, I thought it was when they slammed the door.
Yeah, probably, but it fell off like three or four times before he actually picks it up and uses it as a weapon.
It was a running gag.
Yes. So. Yeah. So they end up, they basically kill everybody but Stripe. I want to call him Spike for some reason. And Stripe ends up going to the local YMCA and jumps.
Which is kind of brilliant.
Oh, yeah. He jumps into the pool. And now we have Brazilian gremlins.
We have like a perpetual motion gremlin making machine.
Yes. And then Billy, of course, he's wise. He's not as ferocious as his mother, but he's a smart guy.
He's like, nope, I'm out of here.
He goes to the police, who are too drunk. What are these, the Ontario Provincial Police? Possibly drunk?
Well, and you haven't seen Breaking Bad, so you don't know, but not the captain, but the detective, the whoever the...
Not the sheriff, but the deputy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was, he was in Breaking Bad.
Oh, he's been a bad guy in every movie.
He's a great guy.
Oh, he is. Yeah. In this case, he just happens to be a drunk guy. The policemen are drunk. Again, I thought of Pontypool.
And then you get to go to the bar.
Yeah. And that's, of course, Kate, Phoebe Cates, is picking up shifts at the bar so that the bar owner doesn't have to hire somebody else because this is a town that's kind of on hard times. So she's working basically for free. Although evidently she has enough work ethic that she is going to serve a bar full of monsters who are clearly not old enough to drink.
Yeah. Well, I also wrote, by the way, that one of the gremlins that ends up at the bar is channeling Tom Waits.
Yes, indeed. Yes, I thought that very thing, too.
Yeah. I'm glad we could agree.
Oh, you know, it's just funny because that's where that's where it kind of turned into way more slapstick, because we've already been shocked by the violence of Billy's mom's near torture rape scene that she survives. And we go to the bar where it's just all comedy gags where they're all smoking and drinking and gambling and, you know, spitting and they have firearms. There's at least two points where firearms are shot at in the bar, killing one gremlin.
At Kate.
Yeah, and nearly killing Billy at one point. So we also have the town is starting to fall apart because, of course, the police did not believe that there was this gremlins, of course, because it sounds unbelievable and because they're drunk. And they discover that, oh, yeah, it's real. But also Mrs. Deagle discovers they're real. And we have this bizarro scene with the malfunctioning stairlift thing.
Yeah.
Which is pretty great.
Yeah. But I like the little gremlins that are walking to at her house because they're all like, Deagle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty fun.
But you constantly hear Stripe saying, you know, Gizmo Caca.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, there's lots of little gremlin language that's fun. And yeah. Kate ends up escaping out of the bar by taking, I think it was a Polaroid land camera, probably, with the flash.
It was awesome. It was an awesome throwback.
Oh, yeah. You remember?
But by the way, there was no way that thing had that many flashes.
Oh, no, not at all. No, because you had to, like put in a new one after five or six, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But still.
I remember having to do that, and not all of them worked all the time. They constantly misfired.
Yeah. And it was because it was an explosion in a little tiny, I mean, it was a one-use light bulb thing.
Yeah. It was basically a small Hindenburg.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But then you get Kate's rescue, and then you get, like, I think it's to this point where she gives the worst Christmas story ever.
It was Christmas Eve. I was 9 years old. Me and Mom were decorating the tree, waiting for Dad to come home from work. A couple hours went by. Dad wasn't home. His mom called the office. No answer. Christmas Day came and went, and still nothing. So the police began a search. 4 or 5 days went by. Neither one of us could eat or sleep. Everything was falling apart. It was snowing outside. The house was freezing, so I went to try to light up the fire. And that's when I noticed the smell. The firemen came and broke through the chimney top. And me and Mom were expecting them to pull out a dead cat or a bird. And instead, they pulled out my father. He was dressed in a Santa Claus suit. He'd been climbing down the chimney on Christmas Eve, his arms loaded with presents. He was going to surprise us. He slipped and broke his neck, died instantly. And that's how I found out there was no Santa Claus.
Oh, okay, and this is the part where I'm saying this did not need to be in the movie.
Well, except it explains why she hates Christmas so much.
But that was unnecessary. You could have edited this whole scene out of the movie and it wouldn't have made any difference to the plot. It was just the most uncomfortable, it is a story that I remember, like as she's telling it, I'm like, oh, this is where that story was from. The most horrifying story ever. If you hadn't just seen a gremlin blown up in a microwave 20 minutes earlier, now you're going to hear the saddest, most brutal Christmas story ever.
Yeah, you might just go slit your wrists.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's no wonder.
Yeah, no, but they had to pay off the comment from earlier, you know, how I don't really like Christmas, Billy. I don't want to talk about it. Where she's like, clearly you do want to talk about it because you volunteered it and brought it up, you dumb girl.
Couldn't she have just said that her dad spent time with Glenda instead of the family at Christmas? That would have worked.
Yeah. Or she could have just said, my dad died at Christmas. Yeah. That's why I don't like
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what she should have said, arguably.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I know. But I think maybe maybe in those days, actors and actresses were paid by screen time. I don't know.
I have no. Well, and also, Billy may be way older than Pete, but Billy is not old enough to have a mature response to Kate's story about her dad.
Well, he clearly doesn't, but that may just be Billy's a dick.
I don't think he's. I just think he's like, oh, this is way too serious. I'm in a whole different movie. So...
Yes.
Sucks to be you. That's horrifying. Let's never discuss this again.
Yeah, she's on the Lifetime Network and he's like on, you know, TLC.
Yeah, well, he's on Sci-Fi maybe. Or maybe, yeah.
I'd say maybe CMT.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, there you go. Or TCM. So.
Well, no.
Yeah, I guess you're okay. So, yeah, so... We after this horrible, horrible story that Phoebe Cates tells, Billy and Kate discovered that the entire town has fallen silent. And the gremlins are taking refuge for the coming morning. And that's where they discover that all the gremlins have gone to the movie theater. And they're watching Snow White and the Seven Dwarves in the theater and loving it.
And it was cute and adorable.
Oh, it was. No, it was fun. It was the sort of the same kind of scene with all of those gremlins and they're all have individual personalities, just like in the bar, but not nearly as subversive as the bar scene. They were much more having fun. And because you were in a movie theater watching characters in a movie theater, I'm sure in the theater itself, it's even more funny. Because there's a little popcorn humor and there's the projector humor. And remember when projectors had a real film?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So
believe me, I spent time on YouTube torturing Kenny with footage of a movie theater that interlocked like, I don't know how many projectors, like 30 projectors together through their building.
So you could have gone to the 5 o'clock showing, the 5:01 showing, the 5:03 showing, the 5:10 showing, the 5:12 showing, and the 5:19 showing, all the same print.
It's something like that. There's actually about a 5 minute delay, give or take, between theaters, depending on how big your interlock is, but and how the projectors are set up, but. I seriously sat and watched this entire video, which I'm sure very few people would have any interest, but because, you know, part of my life at the theater was as a projectionist and I really dug the technology, except for the part where you might accidentally get set on fire.
By the xenon bulbs?
Yeah. If you got too close to the damper when it was open, you had like loose fitting clothing around the damper. It had the potential that it could set your clothes on fire.
Oh, nice.
So, and we had one 70 millimeter projector, which is great because it had better clarity, better resolution on playback. And because the film was physically bigger, it had a bigger soundtrack, meaning you got a more richer soundtrack through the audio decoder because the soundtrack was... Basically, they're little white stripes on the edges of the film. And so you get more complex soundtrack with a bigger physical piece of film. The drawback to 70 millimeter film is that you have a larger aperture from the light coming out, which means there's twice as much heat. And those bulbs already run really hot because you figure you got to get that huge light broadcast across, to a screen. So we had to run... coolant lines there. The projector came built in. There are coolant lines that run inside the projector when you run 70 millimeter because you have to keep it cool or it will melt the acetate film.
Well, that's where you'll see the trope of if the film gets hung up, it will melt.
Oh yeah. Oh, and happened. I mean, it happened in my career with 35 millimeter film.
And it's a terrifying moment when you're sitting in a theater as a projectionist and you see the screen start to bubble and you're like, oh God, and you have to go racing up the stairs because your projector just ate the film.
And then you shut off the light and quickly splice it together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the
and
good old days.
There will be a callback in Gremlins 2. We'll, and I don't know if Gremlins 2 will show it, so I won't spoil it for now, but there will be a callback to this moment in Gremlins 2.
Okay. Well, they end up setting up a kind of like the Shining solution where they decide to blow up the entire theater, which will kill all the gremlins. Unfortunately, Stripe has gotten hungry and they have depleted the snack bar. So he ends up going across the street to a department store to get more food. And so he survives this gigantic explosion.
Yeah. Well, but also the interesting thing, the gremlins can read.
Oh, yeah. Gremlins, turns out they're pretty smart.
Yeah, because he recognized the candy sign.
Oh, and he, not only could he read, but he could speak English. Rudimentary English.
Yum, yum.
Yeah, so then we have a nice little scene. That's basically a chase scene at the end of it, where Stripe has gotten into a Montgomery Ward store.
And I wrote down, oh dear, Montgomery Ward.
Yes.
This is dated. This is almost as much product placement as the Burger King in the opening.
I was going to ask you about Burger King. Every other sign in the town is all muted and very vague. Like,
yeah, almost except like for Burger King. Yeah,
almost like the Old West dry goods store sign. Yeah. Or cosmetics. But then you have Burger King in big plastic bold letters.
Well, the gas station was the same way, because that was all advertising, and there were Cheetos, and there was lots of Lay's products on display in the gas station.
Oh, I'm sure there was overt advertising with things like Cheetos. At least, I'm sure for Gremlins 2, they had... I think they probably had, like, McDonald's and Burger King, or must have been Burger King, but, you know, you could have probably got a Gizmo doll in a Happy Meal, or...
I'm sure.
Kids club meal or whatever they were called.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure you could.
So we have this whole scene, a fun scene where we have this chase and we've got Billy and Stripe and Gizmo. And it's all harrowing and fun and very Indiana Jones. Well,
I say it's fun for a little bit and then it turns dark. Billy gets shot with, like, an arrow.
Oh, that's true. A crossbow arrow right in the...
Yeah. 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 And then Stripe comes at him with a chainsaw.
Yes. Yes. Where he's holding a wooden bat and the chainsaw.
And when I saw it at first, I'm like, I actually wrote down on my paper, on my pad right here. I'm like, oh, good. He's got an aluminum bat because it'll take some time for it to get through. Oh, it's not aluminum. Oh, poor Billy.
Yep.
So I had this like three stages of grief where I was like, oh, good. Oh, crap. You know, it's like, oh, it's a wooden bat. Oh, I was holding hope it was aluminum so he could last longer, but nope.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. I'd forgotten to mention this, that, you know, there's some funny little gags like when does Kate come and save the day with the chainsaw? So somehow Stripe ends up.
No, Gizmo.
Oh, okay, Gizmo. Okay. So Stripe ends up on the floor with the chainsaw still running, and it drags him across the floor, which is a really funny scene because they just have, of course, the gremlin, you know, plastic dummy just attached to a chainsaw, and they have the chainsaw running across the floor, which is great. Like, all the scenes where you have the little dolls, I think, are just hysterical.
Yeah.
Because they don't do anything to hide that it's just a doll.
Yeah, well, it's fine, though, because, you know, it may be a little doll, but it still scares the crap out of you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And when eventually Gizmo pulls up the blinds and causes sunlight to come in and eventually killing Stripe, Stripe dies a scary, horrible death.
It was one of the most horrific things I have seen in some time.
Oh, yeah, with the skin melting off and the skeleton. Yeah, craziness. And good.
Yeah, and I sat through, I sat through Footsteps, right? Isn't that the movie?
What's that?
What's that horrible Matthew McConaughey movie that we watched?
Frailty?
No, no. The Matthew McConaughey midget movie.
Oh. Little person movie. Tiptoes.
Tiptoes. Yeah. Footsteps, Tiptoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you say
dubstep? I sat through dubstep.
I said footstep.
Oh, footstep, yeah.
But Tiptoes. Sorry. I couldn't think of it. So.
Yeah. Then we have, like, after we got the melting, sort of kind of an Indiana Jones ending, really. Because if you remember the Raiders of the Lost Ark, that had kind of a Nazi melting ending. But
that's true.
Yeah. But you end up with them all back at home, and Mr. Wing, the grandfather, appears, and he comes to collect Gizmo and scolds the Peltzers.
He scolds them with the most scathing rebuke of humanity, which is, you did with the Mogwai what humans do to their whole planet or something.
No, he didn't say humans. I think he said the West. He was like talking about you Americans.
White people or something?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, he's like...
Well, it's guilty as charged,
well,
but...
Well, no, there are elements of truth to it, I'm just saying. But yeah, he is clearly saying... Yeah,
but it was really heavy-handed, not even well-disguised commentary.
Yeah. Yeah, no, not at all. And in fact, I mean, they take Gizmo away. Gizmo and Billy are separated, even though they have become friends.
Yeah, it was a little kind of melancholy. Yeah. It was a little sad.
So as he departs, there's a funny little scene. But Hoyt Axton, of course, being the narrator, because he, in any movie he's in, he needs to be the narrator. He always tells them that check your house if things go wrong, because there just may be a gremlin in there.
And Mr. Wing walks away in the worst, not realistic in any way looking matte painting I've seen in a while.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's that. But, well, it's, again, this movie had animation and stop motion and puppetry and all these things that were, you know, signs of the times, but still was really effective. I really liked it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I liked it. I don't regret my purchase. I don't think I'll watch it again late at night when I am all alone.
Oh, well, can I tell you what the original script was had them do?
Oh, no.
Oh, let me tell you. Okay. So we thought this was a horribly violent movie, and it was. Don't get me wrong. This is not a movie I'm going to show my six-year-old daughter.
Oh, no. No, no. Because there's plenty of, like... Because Billy's mom is bloodied, and Billy gets shot, and
and the gremlins are legitimately scary. I mean, as cute as Gizmo is, all the rest of the gremlins are super scary.
Oh yeah,
but okay. So some of the things in the draft scripts before the final shooting script was handed in, the original version had the gremlins killing the dog, and cutting off mom's head and tossing it down the stairs, and Mr. Hansen, the science teacher, originally died with dozens of hypodermic needles stuck in his face, but Steven Spielberg had them reshoot it with just a single needle in the buttocks.
That was a good call.
Yes. After Lynn Peltzer stabs the gremlin to death in the kitchen, there was an unused effect of the gremlin trying to pull the knife free from his body, but they considered that way too distressing. However, I guess you can see it over her shoulder as she microwaves the other gremlin. So you got part of that scene. So this started out as a bigger, brutal movie. It wasn't for, it wasn't the fact that they wanted it to be more family oriented that they changed it. But this was like a full on horror script, it sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, I really got, like I said, I got that impression. Had if this movie came out today, it would be a horror movie.
Oh, undoubtedly. It would have been one of those funny tongue-in-cheek horror movies, but it would have just been a horror movie. So, anyway, so were you happy to see this Christmas movie?
I was. I have kind of divorced it from being a Christmas movie since I think it's less Christmas and more horror. For me, I mean, granted, it's a movie that's set at Christmas and has Christmas themes, but to me, like, this is a Halloween Christmas movie.
Well, and we have to remember in the Christmas spirit that this is only the second worst Christmas that Kate has had.
That's true.
It is the worst Christmas that Billy and his mom have had and the entire town, except for Kate, who arguably had a much worse Christmas when she was 9 years old.
Yeah. Although Mrs. Deagle had a pretty bad Christmas.
Yeah. Well, yeah, pretty much anybody who dies in it had a bad Christmas.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Jingle bells, jingle bells. Send your feedback to show@notinthecreepyway.com or call us on a new voicemail account to leave voice messages, or you can text us at this account to leave text messages. The number is 425-243-9169. That's 425-243-9169. What are you waiting for? Put it in your phone right now, and then when you listen to an episode, you can just hit your contacts, dial it already.